Blog Talk Radio.
Only till the 5th, though. So drag your butts in and let them know you're there.
And if you're a little late, don't worry, because they have extended court hours.
There you go. Don't worry about what time your boss lets you off work. You've got till 7 p.m. Oh, damn, I'd love to take advantage of Amnesty Week, but I got to work 8 to 4. Don't worry, we're open till 7, ladies and gentlemen. Bring in your favorite striped suit and save $50.
All right, so I get off work at 4, I got to stop at the grocery store, pick up some milk, some eggs, oh yes, and take advantage of Amnesty Week and save my $50 on my warrant.
Yes, yes. So, and the best line is, if you know of any friends or family with outstanding warrants, please share this information with them. Hey, Bob, you know, Mom and Dad are kind of huge. You got that outstanding warrant. But this week, buddy, you can save $5, man, or $50. Go in and talk to him. You know, if you ask Dad, he'll probably coat your butt down there.
Then don't worry. They won't even arrest you.
Yeah. And you can see a judge that day. No, the if needed. What the hell? No, you know what? I don't need to see him today. Next week's fine. Just stuff my butt in a sail in the back. I'm good with that. What the hell do they mean if needed?
That's awesome for a full week, too. It's like Black Friday. But for a week.
Oh, my God. Hey,
extended court hours for your judicial convenience.
And you know the judge is sitting back going, I can't believe I got roped into this shit. And at the end of the night, at 6:45 when they drag you in, you know, the judge is sitting there looking at his watch going, I've been here almost 12 hours, man. I am pissed. You did what? You stole a Milky Way? Bailiff, launch his ass to the Milky Way.
Yeah, it's anytime I've had to go to traffic court, it's really the only court I've ever had to go to, thank God. But yeah, anytime I've on traffic court, I'm pray that I'm usually one of the first people up there, because, and last name having an M is, they don't do it alphabetically all the time, but sometimes they do, and by the time I get up there, the judge is usually, and mostly steam coming out of his ears with all the other crap that he has to deal with before I get there, so I'm very, very kind.
Yeah. Now, I had a speeding ticket one time.
One time.
I've only ever been stopped for speeding one time. The word there was stop. You have to catch me to stop. Anyway, I sat there for almost 2 hours. And finally this guy comes up that he is before the judge for shooting his neighbor's dog. And God is my witness, they asked what kind of dog it was, and the man said, I don't know what kind it was. It looked like a Sooner to me. And the judge got this puzzled look on his face and said, excuse me, sir, but what's a Sooner? Well, it's not really a dog. I think it'd sooner eat shit than be a real dog. And the whole court busted up. The judge is banging the gavel to get, you know, order in the court back, broke the gavel. And I knew at that point I'm asking for a continuance because I don't want to be in front of this man after this one. But the man literally stood and looked at the judge and told him, I think it was a Sooner. Sooner eat shit than be a real dog. I thought the judge was going to have a berth right there on the bench. The prosecutor asked him, have you tried to resolve this issue in the past? The man said, yes, I've shot the dog several times with a BB gun. That's how you tried to resolve this? Well, yes, sir. And then finally I used the .357 and I solved the problem. I'm like, oh my God, this is not going well.
No.
It was the most I have ever laughed, knowing that, you know, I'm about to pay a hefty fine. I walked before the judge and he's holding his gavel stick. There's no hammer on the end of it. And he's sitting there, and you can just see he's seething. And he's like, how do you plead? Oh, please give me a continuance. That was in North Carolina. I thought shit like that only happened in movies and comedies. Oh, no, 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 my friends. This was real life.
That is, that's real, real interesting.
I never thought I'd hear something like that, but, you know, in person and in real life. But, hey, that reminds me. Coming up, we have Richmond Investigators of the Paranormal, which is KB and Big Ray. Now, KB used to be a Richmond City Sheriff deputy, so he's probably sat in the courtroom and heard some funny shit. So I definitely want to ask him what's the funniest thing he's ever heard a defendant say and what was the funniest reaction that he ever got to see out of a judge on the bench, like live in court. Hopefully,
yeah.
While he was, you know, I mean, he's a retired sheriff deputy. Hopefully he did at some point in time stand in the courtroom and hear stuff like this. Because that was the most amazing thing. I mean, I had tears in my eyes. And the bailiffs, of course, are going, quiet, quiet. And the judges banging the gavel. And it was hilarious.
It's okay. Did the judge find any humor in it at all?
Oh, no. No, no. No, the judge didn't even get a smirk. He did, however, get a large grin when he beat his little gavel stick, no hammer left, and found the man guilty of animal abuse or cruelty to animals is what he charged him with. And actually, I believe he, you know, probably threw the heaviest fine at him he could. I don't know what the limits and all were, but he did get a little bit of a grin on that one. So,
yeah.
Anyway, Martin, who else do we have tonight? Feel free to share this one.
All right. Well, as you said, we got Big Ray and KB, who Richmond Investigators of the Paranormal, and we're going to have to do a little fisticuffs on this one. We're dear friends with them, so I can say this, but we're going to have to go a little fisticuffs. They have Ghost Perhaps Radio, which is on Friday nights. But they're known as the number one paranormal talk show in the universe. So I think we got to, you know, maybe put it to them a little bit tonight because, hell, how can they be if we are?
I mean, you know, maybe they have their own universe. I mean, we've all done paranormal investigations and we've seen things that seem otherworldly and so forth. So maybe they have their own universe. But we know that, you know, for our universe, we are the number one paranormal talk show.
Yeah, I just wonder
I
wonder in everybody else's universe where we stand. In our little world,
yeah, well,
sure.
Oh, and in my world, you know, I'm 6'5 and built like a brick outhouse and just handsome as a devil. But thank God I have a voice for radio because I also have a face for radio. Yeah, I beat you to it, man. You didn't even get that one.
No, I know. No, that was one that last night I ended up getting that one little stab in with KB when I was on Terrify with Kevin last night. And KB called in at the end of the show. And Susan, the guest that was on, was talking about his voice and how sultry and soothing it is. And you all get to find that out shortly. But, yeah, he's definitely, you know, a great guy, but and love him to death. But, yeah, I got that stab, and I said, well, if you go to my CPR page, and look, he's the one in the middle. So that was a good one. On his expense and the fact that he couldn't respond because he wasn't on the phone.
Oh, now see, that's just dirty.
Yeah,
I mean, at least if I'm going to get a dig on you, I make sure you're there to catch it.
Yeah, no, he he got me one time on Ghost Reps when I was on Ghost Reps, so that's where I ended up able to get it back.
Yeah, they actually, now they run Ghost Reps Radio. It's on Friday nights. They run that on the BTVN network. So if you got time on Friday nights, swing by, check them out. You can find them on Facebook. What do they got? Good Lord. They've got RIP, which is Richmond Investigators of the Paranormal. They have Ghost Raps Radio also on Facebook. So, yeah, definitely take a little time. Check them out on a Friday night. They get some pretty interesting guests, and they run a pretty good show.
Yeah, so they got some. I'm not going to spoil it, but they got some big ones coming up soon that KB and I were talking about last night. So that will definitely be pretty interesting. But I'm not gonna take that. I'll let him fill you in on who they got coming up. And then after that, one thing I'm really looking forward to this is because it's from my hometown where I was born and raised in Houston, Texas. We have Houston Ghosts, which is also PM Investigations. A couple of members going to be calling in, Ashley, Jake, and Amy. If that all works out, we'll be talking to all three of them towards the tail end of the show. And definitely interested to hear what's happened in my neck of the woods from when I was young, because I haven't been to Houston in a long time. So should definitely be interesting. Number popped in. Want to check out, see who it is. So, Dennis, if you got something you want to talk about for a minute, I shall be right back.
Oh, sure. I've always got
never mind.
To talk
it's
about.
Gone. It's gone, and it's an 804 area code, so it's a Richmond area code.
Ah, well, that would probably be Ray and Ken trying to call in and catch up with us. But, yeah, I do have something to talk about. I've got a house here in the Richmond area. As I've said in
looks
the past,
like,
I'm a contractor. Do what?
Yeah, it looks like we got both of them are in queue now, so.
Oh, okay. Well, go right ahead and bring them on in. I mean, if we're going to rag on them, I'd love for them to be able to retaliate. Just keep the mute button real close to your finger there, Matt.
Hey, Big Ray KB with us.
Hello, this is Big Ray.
Hey, this is KB.
What's going on, John?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Well, not a whole lot, man. You know what? Not only do we talk to talk.
That's right. We're Richmond Investigators of the Paranormal, guys. Y'all know that.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Wonderful, gentlemen.
That sounds great. That's all.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about your. Yeah, we're sorry to hear about your friend today. Their condolences going out to him and his family. On the lighter side, KB has been in court several times. Ain't that right, KB?
You're right about that. Now, Big Ray, I'm having just a little, I don't know if your headset or what it is, but I'm having a little hard time, like you're breaking up every now and then, big guy.
Can you hear me okay, guys?
It's got a little echo to it.
Really? Okay.
Let's see if we can get rid of the headset. Hate to make you do it, but lose the technology
right.
And go straight on the phone with us.
How about this?
That's
hey, that
absolutely
sounds wonderful.
There you go. Feel like you've got it.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. So, yeah, the KB couldn't quite hear you on the his end of the radio. So what happened, I thought that was pretty cool. So they actually sent out invites via the newspaper to have people come in and turn himself in?
No, actually, it was on their Facebook page. KB, since you missed this, I'll share it with you right quick.
All right, sounds great.
Wichita Police Department shared on their Facebook page, 24,000 people have outstanding warrants. Are you one of them? If so, take advantage of Amnesty Week, April 1 through 5. You can resolve your warrant, save $50 per warrant, and appear before a judge that day if needed. Extended court hours will be held from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. If you know of any friends or family with outstanding warrants, please share this information with them.
Yeah, that's the way to go. We should have done that a long time ago, Big Ray.
Is that not the craziest thing?
Man, hey, if it works, I say go for it. You know, if these guys are that dumb, I know here in Richmond, they used to do the sting operation where they would, you would want a free TV, a VCR, or something like that. Come on down to the FR Center and redeem your prize. You know, you'd be surprised how many stupid guys would come down there with smiles on their face. No, they want a DVR, a TV, or something like that just to get it. And it works. I mean, you know, you got people like that don't think. You know, come and get you a free lottery ticket where somebody, your name was drawn, you have to be a winner. You know, anything. You know, you got people out there that are gullible that will come down and pick it up.
And I make it crazy.
Yeah, they come down to pick up their prize and they get picked up. So, yeah, there's a backfire for you.
It's funny.
You know, let's see, Dennis, I know you had a question for KB. I'll let you ask it because I know he's got to have something.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's got to be. Now, KB, did you hear me relate the story about my incident in court in North Carolina?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Well, I had to stand before the judge for a speeding ticket. I'll make this a real fast, short story. 2 hours I've sat there, and then this guy comes up for cruelty to animals charge.
Right.
The judge asked him, what kind of dog was it? The man said it was a suitor. The judge looked at him rather puzzled and asked him, not familiar with that breed, what is that? The man looked at the judge, and I swear to God, the man looked at the judge and said, I don't know what breed it was. It, just a sooner. You know, I'd rather sooner eat shit than be a real dog.
Yeah, basically.
The entire gallery bust up laughing. Everybody that's sitting in the court, you know, I mean, rolling. The judge is pounding the gavel and, you know, ordering the court, and the bailiffs are hollering quiet. The judge broke the gavel. Needless to say, I asked for a continuance on my speeding ticket.
Smart move.
But with you being a retired sheriff deputy, I'm sure you stood bailiff duty a time or three.
Mm-hmm.
What was the funniest or dumbest thing that you ever heard a defendant tell the judge?
Well, I'll tell you what.
And
what
was the funniest reaction you ever got from a judge?
Okay, I can tell one. Many years ago when I was a young guy, you know, I happened to be working one of the courtrooms. And I had one of the guys there, his name was Ollie. And we always had a regular drunks and all that would come in, you know, and be sentenced. Well, this old lady, we used to call her Mae West. And she, when she talked, she had a real whiny voice. And the judge would go sentence Mae West for some jail time. And she happened to have a nice little skirt that hung down past her knees. She backhanded the officer, shocked him. She bends over, pulls her dress up, and told the judge to kiss her, you know what. And she had made draws on. I mean, that was a shocker. I mean, that's probably one of the funniest things I can think of, yeah.
Rough guess. Did the judge dismiss the charge?
No, they snatched her and sent her in the back, and she got her jail time. Then she got contempt of court time, so she did okay. She made it through the winter.
So she was well suited for the winter. At least she got three hots in the cot for stupidity.
Oh yeah, yeah. She, you know, she figured she flashed judge, bent over, told the judge to kiss her black rosy rear, and the judge gave her contempt of court and sent her to Central State, I think, for 6 months to have evaluated for mental. And yeah, she made it through the winter okay. I mean, she got basically what she wanted. She figured she'd do enough. She could give the judge a sentence of at least 6 months, make it through the one a month, and she'll get released in the spring. So we got guys like that used to come to court. We used to call them the fall guy. And you wouldn't see them until the fall of the year. There used to be where I used to work off duty up on Broad Street. A guy named Jose Jackson wore about two or three sport coats, four or five neckties all at one time. He would wait till it turned a bit of cold and walk up to the Cavalier clothing store up on Broad Street, grab a big old brick, throw it through the window, stand there, wait till the cops come, and go to jail for the winter.
Yeah. Again, that's, you know, three hots in the cot.
Yes, and we used to call the Fall Guys. You didn't see them to the fall.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing what some people will do simply to survive. And, you know, it just doesn't surprise me anymore.
Yeah.
It's a crazy world that we live in. And, you know, it's kind of a shame that, well, if you look at the treatment that a lot of our senior citizens get living in nursing homes and things like that, and then you look at the treatment that a lot of inmates get.
Well, hey, look, I treat Ray extremely well. I mean, for a guy that's a senior citizen, I treat Ray with the utmost respect. I mean, we're not talking about Ray, are we?
No.
I apologize. I apologize.
Now, let me get this right, because you're going to call him an old people. Ray, you're still working, correct? I can't hear him.
I'm retired military, but I'm still in the medical field, so yeah.
Okay. You're retired military, but still in the working force. How about yourself there, Ken?
Well, you know, I'm like this. I'm a retired officer, as you know, and now I dedicate myself to the Ghost Raps Panel Talk Radio Show. And believe it or not, guys, out here promoting and getting guests and advertising, it's a full-time job, the way I look at it.
Yeah, it is a good thing he can do it, because, you know, you know, kids in college still and paying bills, and, you know, being in the ghost hunting field, as you know, is not cheap.
Yeah, it's definitely not cheap. With all the equipment and, you know, all the time that you have to spend on review of evidence and everything else, yeah, it's more suited for the retired people, but I'll tell you what.
Yeah,
I absolutely love it. I won't give it up. There's nothing better than having somebody that you can't see, that you can't hear, but you get them on an EVP telling you that they want to fight you or, you know, choke you, whatever.
But, you know, being in the ghost field has helped me in the medical field as well, and vice versa. The funny things that happened, we had this one that's not funny. It gets funny. It's a little old lady. She's mental, like KB was talking about, a different lady. And so I'm on the Dr. Atlas team, and I come into the room, and they're wrestling this little old lady down. She's fighting, cussing, raising Cain, and I lean over, look at her in her face, and, you know, I'm going to say, you know, okay, ma'am, we're here. We can do this the easy way, and that's the way we prefer. But the more, you know, that's the kind of spill you go. So anyway, I lean over and get ready to talk to her, and she's in this rage. And she calms right down immediately, looks me in the eye, and says, "You're that guy on TV." And I said, "What do you mean?" She says, "You're that ghost hunting guy." And she went calm, no more fight note of her or nothing. And it was great, but it was so funny to see her to go from a bite, scratch, and rage to get that gal on TV.
Yeah, he's scared of her. I mean, you know, did I say that?
And everybody else was like, you know, most of the people that I work with, most of them know I hunt ghosts and that kind of thing, but they looked at me like, what in the world?
It didn't have anything to do with the fact that you're rather large.
No, not a thing to do.
What are you, Big Ray? 6'5", 6'6"?
No, I'm just 6'2", 6'3", somewhere around in there. That's what the paperwork says.
Oh, well, you know, stick with that paperwork. You'll look at, and always remember, bend your knees when you're running out to 7-Eleven, because they got that stupid tape up the doors now.
Yeah, make sure bend over. Don't get the right height. KB has to get up on his tiptoes to walk through, so make sure he gets the line.
Well, you know, here we go again with KB, the old man's short jokes, right?
Now, see, KB couldn't even rob the store because on the inside they have the tape showing how tall the robber was as he left, but on the outside they have you must be this tall to rob this store, and he doesn't qualify.
Oh, I see that. It's the KB short joke night. Oh, KB, okay.
That's good.
Okay, I haven't heard too much of Matt, but you know Matt, he's a dear friend of mine, and so is Dennis. But I'll tell you one thing. I will cut both of you and all three of you with a rusted butter knife, and I hope you get locked jaw.
It'll just be at the Achilles tendon, though, so really not much to worry about.
Oh. Okay. All these people out there, y'all need to call in the CBR ghost CBR line and give them what for and KB's to have. And you probably won't get any call at all.
Now, just to keep things fair, KB, Ray, you guys know I love you dearly. But did you see the picture that was posted of Matt today? Looks like Habib in a tree. Oh, my God, the wood that boy is sporting. That would be CPR Matt.
CPR Matt.
In Bachelor's Grove, is 15 feet up in the air, sitting out on a broken-off tree limb, and he's got this grin like the Cheshire Cat, like, yeah, look what the daddy got. It looks like something you would find on Dateline.
I'll be damned.
Yeah, that was today, actually. We went out to me and Mark, CPR Mark, and our dear friend Ursula Bielski. We're out at Bachelor's Grove Cemetery, which Bachelor's Grove was featured on last season on Ghost Adventures.
Thanks,
yeah, so and it's only 23, 24 miles away from where I live, so it's pretty accessible. But we ended up going out there, and the cemetery itself is not a large area. It's pretty small. There's Ursula and Carl and Pete, and there's a lot of people, and Len Dorman, and there's a lot of people who are working on the restoration project to get the tombstones back into the order that they were. It's pretty sad. I'll have to post some photos later. You walk in, all the headstones have been kicked over. It's just the base plot, and then the actual name portion of it laying on its back, behind it or on its face, or there's the three-tiered mausoleum-style ones that are knocked over, and trash everywhere and stuff. So they're doing a great, great job getting it back in order. Mark hadn't been out there since like the 90s, so that's why I said, hey, what the hell, let's go back to the Grove. So went out there, and the cemetery portion, like I said, is really small, and we ended up going through the woods, and if you watch the episode of Ghost Adventures, it's like 2.7 acres of woods that are around. So we just said, let's go across the creek and walking around. There's there's old homes from turn of the century, even a little bit before, that the foundations are still there, the slabs are there, so that's what we were looking for, was the slab. And we're walking through, and Mark and I, being the five-year-olds at heart that we are, see this tree thing that's downed, and it's wedged between two trees. And Mark said, ooh, I want to climb that. I said, nope, me first. So I ran over to it and started climbing up it. The problem was is that the base of it was all thorns. It was all just bushes with thorns. So it took a little bit to actually work up the courage, because the fall wasn't far, but what you're falling into was not fun. So I ended up climbing that, and that was like in the back corner. That was the farthest point that we got before we turned around and started going back. But the one thing I'm going to have to do is I have my little full spectrum HD, just little handy cam where the screen flips out from the side, and it's just one of those real small ones. I had that, and we started making Blair Witch films on the way back, and like comically. So I'm going to have to get those up and post it, because I think you guys will laugh your ass off at these videos that we did. I think I peed a little on the way home when we were watching them at stoplights and stuff. So it's, they're good. So, but yeah, Bachelor's Grove. It's been a good day, Bachelor's Grove, and then get to come home and talk to all you guys. So,
did you see anything while you were there?
No, it was there was nothing going. Well, we made up like we were seeing things, but in a comical way. But no, it wasn't. I didn't have. I just had the camera and I had a voice recorder, and we didn't stop and do anything because during the day, one of the problems at Bachelor's Grove, the only thing that would really work would be like an SP7 or a K2 or video camera, something like that, because the audio, it's so close to two major roads that's constantly all you hear is cars and trucks and everything going by. With Ghost Adventures, they actually shut down that whole road area, so there was no audio contamination. That's why it seems so silent when they were there, but it's definitely not when you're there on a functioning day.
Oh, okay. I was wondering about that. What about, I've heard rumors, I don't know if you guys have heard this, that there's, we get into that, we've talked about that, I think, before, but there's ghosts of people, ghosts of animals, and there's ships and houses. I remember reading somewhere that people have actually seen a house, a ghost house, I guess, for lack of better words, in that area, but there's no history of a house being there. Have y'all ever heard that?
Yeah, actually, we were talking about that today. That's one thing with Ursula. I'll have to have her on your guys' show because her knowledge of history is it blows you away. I mean, and it's all 100% accuracy. How she ended up coming out today, she was over in, I think she's said it was the LaGrange Historical Society doing research. When you walk the tour through the cemetery with her, she can tell you each person, who their kids were, when they lived, when they died, what they did for work, how they died, of each plot that's in there. It's amazing. You walk out of there with literally brain matter coming out of your ears with the amount of information that gets shoved in your head. But she did say she has a website, which is there's the Path to Bachelor's Grove. There's a couple different ones. I'll look them up in a second. But on that path, there's supposed to be a ghost car of like a 1920s like Model A or something like that, that people see the ghost car. Well, on that path that you have to walk in, there's two marker stones that nobody knows what they are. But a little bit before that, on your way in, there's a path that goes back, and she said it, and I can't remember the name of the family, but there was a house that was right there on the path, and there are other plots that there were houses throughout that area, but nobody can find any deed records on what these houses were, but historically there were houses there. So the ghost house is actually, it's a myth, but it's a myth that people have experienced to bring it into some truth. Nobody seems to have any photos or anything of it, but people do say that they have seen a house appear and disappear, like right there in front of their eyes, basically.
Yeah, okay.
So, hey, let me get this right. There is a house that manifests.
Yes.
Correct. But there's no history of that one that's been built there.
All right, now, we've all seen orbs. We've all seen shadows. We've all seen, I've seen a full-blown manifestation of a person. How the hell would you manifest a house?
Exactly. I've seen a car. A phantom car down in North Carolina when I was on my way back to base one time when I was stationed down there. There was a girl driving it, brown hair, blue car, white top. It was at dusk, but still white, and I could see her. It was a long, straight stretch, so I could see her coming probably a quarter mile away at least, and she got to me. I was like, oh, she's kind of cute, and you know how you'll check your side view mirror out, and when I looked in the side view mirror, as she passed me, the car was gone. I wasn't drinking, wasn't doing drugs. And
did you stop and look in the ditches to make sure that maybe
Actually, I did. There was a house on the left-hand side of the road, and that was the only house in the area. And there was it was a dirt road that only set back maybe 200-300 feet. And I checked behind me, no cars behind me. I did stop the car and got out. I thought, well, maybe she flipped it and rolled it across the field, but there was no sign of any wreck, collision. The grass was all, the road was all clear. Maybe a minute or two, I looked around and I was like, okay, and got back in the car and went on down the road.
Right, now I know you're retired military. PTSD, have they got you on medications or anything?
Well, they do tell me a couple of folks, yeah, man, you definitely got some PTSD going there. Take no medication. Well, I do take a thyroid pill and a Claritin for the sinuses, and that's it. And no alcohol, no drugs. And I didn't back then. And, you know, I drank soda, and that's it. So, but that was a car. But, you know, you've heard the stories. I don't know if you've seen them, but, you know, animals, horses, dogs, cats, people. And what about ghost ships? I mean, you know, most ships, the old sailing rigs are bigger than the house. And people have actually down here in Virginia, well, you guys are, well, you're from down here. Dennis and Matt came down and hung out with us down here at Williamsburg, Chesapeake area. There's an old ghost story down there where a pirate ship, and it was witnessed by many, many people. I think it might be in one of L.B. Taylor's books, where a ship comes up over top of the trees, and men in old sailor garbs shinny down ropes, phantom ropes, to the ground. So why would a ship be above the trees, you know? And they say ghosts can't cross waters. Well, what about ghost ships? Oh, yeah, they're on the water.
That's a valid point. That one definitely makes me ponder. I'm just still kind of baffled that a house shows up.
Dennis didn't hear anything you actually just said. He's still trying to figure out this house thing.
but that's what gets me too. People see a house there, but there's no record of a house ever having been built there. So that not only is it a house that manifests, it's a house that never existed, supposedly.
Yeah, can we be looking at some type of a portal where apparently maybe at one time there was a house there? I've heard the same story, some of what Big Ray is saying, out in Louisiana. They had a house, they used to call it the Devil's House. And this house was destroyed by fire back in the late 1800s. And from time to time, on a late dark night, walking down this old street, people to this day have alleged they have seen this old house and seen what they call the devil standing on the roof where this young girl was sacrificed on top of the roof. And from this date, even as we speak, people have actually said they have seen this house appear. And knowing that there was a vacant lot there, and these people had walked by and actually said they saw the house and with candles in the windows, where the house looked like back probably in the 1800s. That, like I said, is it a time warp? Is it some type of portal? Whether something like this show up, or does somebody walk through another dimension for a short period of time to see stuff like that? It's hard to say.
Yeah, and it could be a time slip from the future. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true. You know, we've got friends like, you know, David Roundtree that's working on the wormhole theory and, you know, trying to understand that and et cetera. So I don't know. I mean, it makes you really wonder what the hell is available around us. What could there possibly be? You know, if this house is showing up out of nowhere, is it a wormhole that let's see, what was it? Back in the 40s, there was the amazing time machine that, you know, he could program to go to anywhere. is it possible that, I don't think it's in our lifetime, and given, I won't even go there, but, I'll let KB out on this one. It definitely won't be in our lifetime that something like that is done, but is there a way to manipulate a wormhole or something like that, or a portal, and pass through?
Well, Big Ray, I tell you, I think he watched the same one of the shows that we were watching a while back, and Ray and I talked about it. What the United States government, this guy was a scientist, he alleges that the U.S. government had this building in one of the, I think it was in Texas, where he would go up to, I think it was the fifth or the sixth floor. He says some of the stuff that the United States government was doing inside this building would shock the world. He said they had a portal where they could actually walk through and go from one part of the town to the other. Now, this guy was a scientist. He alleges that the U.S. government had such a thing, and that, if you talked about it prior to this show, people probably would have locked him up and said he's crazy as heck. But, I mean, we don't know what our government knows and what they're doing, what they're experimenting with. And I'm sure they're doing things that, the way the technology is today, that where are they getting this technology? And it's like I said, we got a show coming up in the future. Big Ray will tell you about it. We got a guy that's defected from Russia. And we got a show. He's going to tell some of the things. He was a scientist. And he's going to talk about some of the things, the cover-ups, which the government does. The government, Ray told you, Ray and I talked, the government's going to let you tell you what you're supposed to know and make you believe what they want you to believe. Am I right, Big Ray?
That's a fact. I put up a post like that on our Facebook fan page yesterday, alluding just to that. The news media pretty much puts out what the government wants you to know. And I don't believe a thing they say unless I see it, and even the local stuff. The government definitely has more. I mean, look at the aircraft we have today in Area 51. There's actually another area similar to that not many people know about, but I mean, we have aircraft that should not be able to fly if it weren't for computers. And if the computer shuts down, that airplane falls out of the air. I mean, most planes will glide if the engine cuts off. The configurations on them drop now. Where did we go in the last 50, 100 years from walking and horseback to flying aircraft, going to the moon? That kind of thing. I mean, Roswell, KB and I did this. What's his name, KB? Torres, Neil Torres.
It like a lot of people, like Big Ray will tell you, a lot of people don't realize there are two Roswell incidents, one in Roswell, New Mexico, and one in the town of Roswell, Mexico, the country. There was two incidents, one in, I think it was 1943, and the other was back in 73, or even 72, something in that area. Am I right, Ray?
That's about right, yeah.
Yeah, so there was two Roswell incidents, and Big Ray said both.
In Pennsylvania, most people don't know about Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. UFO went down there. So the UFOs, I mean, how did we get this knowledge? It has to be some reverse engineering. So why wouldn't we just go back to
I was going to say, as far as, what the government shares with us and what they don't want us to know and what they're capable of and, what we know they're capable of, I definitely agree. They're worlds apart. I was driving through West Virginia, and I shit you not, I watched a mountain open up. The entire face of the mountain pivoted to the side, and this whole mountain opened up. Now, I'm not thinking that, Boeing was
in charge. Hey, guys, and he asked Ray, if he's on drugs. Yep,
I thought we were going to keep that between us, man. That's on the DL, man.
I had a thought in it, man. You were talking Ray earlier. Said, "Where were you on?" Hey, look, at least Ray said he didn't see the whole mountain open up.
I was thinking that. I was like, damn, I saw a car, but he saw a mountain move.
No, I didn't see the whole mountain move. I just saw the face of it pivot.
It was the strangest thing I ever saw. Did anything happen?
No, I didn't see anything beyond that. I mean, I'm rolling through at 75 mile an hour, but as I'm approaching it from, you know, a mile out,
right.
And then as I get closer and closer and closer to it, I notice that there's a gap in the face of the mountain that seemed increasing that whole mile that I'm rolling.
Now,
I knew a man that, God rest him, I loved him to death. But he related a story to me. He served with the United States Army. He had top-level security clearance. I knew him very well, very well. I have his triangular flag on my mantle, if that tells you anything, without giving away his name. He related a story to me where he was working in downtown Cleveland, Ohio, and there was a Nike Hercules missile base in downtown Cleveland, Ohio, with live intercontinental ballistic Nike Hercules missile. If they can do something like that, it would not amaze me what our government can do.
Well, I promise you. To tell you about your mountain out in West Virginia, well, let's say I still work for the government, man. There is a mountain out there, and I think they declassified this, but I'm not going to tell you where it's at. But there is a mountain. They did take part of the mountain away. They built a superstructure underneath that is capable of landing aircraft in the mountain, and it is very well stocked, and it is set up for our government officials, our top officials, for in case of a global catastrophe, and that is a fact.
So the way that our economy is right now, most of our government officials are there?
We're headed that way shortly, I think. Are we ready?
if they keep it up, they probably will be, because I think the populace is, you know, there's people are upset. They really don't know the, well, for one, most people, American people, don't realize how bad things are. You know, the government and the media keeps us in a little bubble of their own little world, i.e., let's take a look at Afghanistan and Iraq. Do you hear anything coming out of there? No. CNN wouldn't lie to you, other than, did y'all know that they actually blue screen their coverage of the Iraqi war, the blitz of Baghdad from the top of their building in Georgia? They did. So no. The media will, you know, they're going to put it out there and anything to make them buck. But, yeah, the situation
is... Wait. Let me get this right. They green screened the blitz of Baghdad.
Yeah. From the top
so
of
we
their
didn't
building.
Actually. We didn't
the
actually...
Blitz was going what? On, but the CNN staff wasn't in Baghdad. They were on top of their building in Georgia. Technically, they were blue screening. They were using blue background. So a lot of this stuff that you saw coming out of CNN was coming out of Georgia. So they had cameramen filming in Baghdad, shooting the image back, but their reporters were actually on a roof in Georgia. But did you hear that anywhere? But that's true. And,
I can't say as I saw that one.
If you watched it CNN during the Iraqi invasion when we went into Baghdad, you saw it. And I could, I might be able to even pull, I'll see if I can pull that clip up. I actually had it, I think. And,
all right.
Because I thought it looked hokey before. In the military, we call CNN the Communist News Network.
Well, sure. I mean, our government tells them what they can and cannot put out. Now, for those that listen to our program and follow us here on Full Spectrum Radio, you know we very seldom ever get into the politics and the political realm of things because that's just too heavy. And, well, neither one of us really care to not laugh that long. I do have to say that, you know, there are so many theories on so much that our government can do and so much that this can do. If, now, we're all a bunch of paranormal junkies sitting here and shooting the breeze. Am I right?
Yeah, and, you know, like you said, you'd be surprised how many people out there that are listening to your show and really are interested about the government and not far as politics and things like that. We're talking about cover-ups, all that cover-ups within our government that want to keep strange things away from us, abnormal, paranormal acts of events. And does the government keep it away from us? You know, and that you can open up that question. You open up a lot of worms, and you'll be surprised sometimes at the answers and the questions that the public will ask you.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, I mean, now, what is the one? All right, I'm going to ask this to both of you, but I'm going to pose it and get an answer from KB first. If you could have any one politician for one question of something that you think that they've blown smoke up the American citizens' backside about, what one question would you ask them, and who would you ask it to?
I'll tell you what, that's a good question. I'd like to think of that one for a few minutes, so give me a chance to think about it, because I'm not what you call into big politics or anything like that. So off the top of my head, I couldn't think of anything to ask him, but I'm sure if I think about it long, I could ask a politician. I would probably ask LBJ. Was there a cover-up of the JFK assassination?
That's an excellent answer.
I mean, that's my question to LBJ. Was there a cover-up? Was he or who was involved?
Well, I think they released that information that has been sealed until, like, in the 2030s, I believe.
Yeah.
I
think it's definitely a cover-up there.
My fault.
Big Ray?
Yeah.
Let's throw the same one to you, my friend. Both of you are, you know, you're quite intellectual. You're very well thought. You're very well spoke. You're very well educated. So let's see. I really like KB's answer. What do you got for us, Ray?
Well, I know what the answer is. President Obama, technically, well, during the election, he lied and said someone else thought it to be sequester, when really, and he's finally admitted it, that it came from him. So what is his objective with the sequester? It's not helping our economy. It's not helping us with our military force. Why is the government buying up so many weapons, so many bullets? Like Homeland Security, you purchased over 5.56 rounds, over 7,000 ARs, M16s, whatever you want to call it, about 3,000 armored vehicles, drones. So forget the sequester thing. That's what I'd like to know is, why is Homeland Security buying up all this equipment and long-term, like, MRE meals, foods? Why is the government buying all that up right now? I'll just go with that one.
Well, I definitely have to give you kudos on that. I made mention earlier that I'm a contractor for a living. I end up in some pretty ugly, rough neighborhoods. In the 7 years that I've been in business and working for myself, I have had to draw my weapon 5 times when the little thugs of the area that I'm in choose to, well, I will give them credit. They stated it nicely, "Hey, man, let me hold your wallet," and then would reach behind their back. Apparently, they don't expect me to have a speed holster and be very efficient with my weapon. However, I have a newly acquired weapon, which I absolutely love, by the way, Smith & Wesson M&P 40. Nice weapon, smooth as silk.
Very, very good weapon, very good choice,
but,
I must say.
But I can't find ammo for it to just go shoot at paper, you know, to go absolutely target practice. Every shop that I've gone into, as far as 40 cal ammunition, is either sold out or back ordered, or the only thing we have are these, you know, hollow points that you can buy for 25 round box is $28.
Right.
Now, a year ago, before all this fiasco started, before Homeland Security bought $1.8 billion,
yeah,
that would be with a B,
right.
9mm rounds,
yeah.
You could buy that same exact box for $17 to $19. So, you know, it's definitely, so I do appreciate that answer, and you know, I would have to agree. Between asking LBJ if there was a cover-up, which, you know, we're pretty certain there already was. You know, of course, the other question comes, was there only one shooter? Was he only in the library? Or were the others planted around? An excellent, excellent movie to target that target, no pun intended, to target that exact thought and line of thought. Watch the movie Shooter. From 1 mile out, they're trying to figure out how to do an assassination.
Right.
Assassination? Yes.
Yeah.
And this is where your host gets tongue-tied again. But it's fascinating. I mean, we all know that there was a cover-up.
Yeah.
Will the government ever tell us?
The airport. It starts right at the airport because a lot of people don't know that they changed his route that day. When he got on the ground, his route was changed. That was not the pre-planned route. And
well,
that put him right there.
I will
say
this. One of the members of CPR East used to be a federal officer. I won't tell which member. His job was communications and planning. And he related a story to us about the inaugural night for President Clinton. He planted his people where they needed to be to meet the president-elect at this point because he hasn't been, you know, inaugurated in yet. At the bottom of the elevator, and he popped out on the other side of the room at the bottom of the steps, which, quote him, "What the hell is he doing over there?"
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, it makes you wonder. But, gentlemen, I damn sure appreciate the two of you joining us. We have our next guest in. Do you mind if they join us? Or
not at
you,
all.
Do you two want to move on, or... Awesome. We'll bring them in.
I'll leave it up to KB and you guys. If y'all want to stick around, we'll stick. If y'all want us to step off, we'll step off. We're happy.
Our next guests are, they're paranormal investigators and ghost hunters out of Houston, Texas. You can find them on Facebook under Houston Ghosts. But their team name is actually PM Investigators, or PM Investigations. Somebody else already had Houston Ghosts, or already had PM Investigations. So they took Houston Ghosts. So, Matt, if you can go ahead and bring them in, we'll keep them all together. We'll keep Ken and Ray here with us. We'll have a blast talking with them, and we'll talk with Houston Ghost as well.
Yeah, I'll bring them in 1 second. Just in case you guys do want to jump off, I'll give you, you know, a second to pub any websites, you know, pub the show, any information you want to give out, just in case you do want to hop off, at least the info is out there. So,
go ahead, KB. Hello, KB. Well, we may have lost KB.
No, there we are, right there. The people that want to get to Ray and KB, we're seeing Friday nights on the Best Television Network where the world watches TV. You can catch us on iTunes, Spreaker, and you can catch us on WHAN 102.9 FM and 1430 AM. And we're also on the web, so you can actually listen to us on the radio and join us on the web. And it's Friday night at 9:30 with Big Ray and KB on the Ghost Raps Panama Talk radio show. Like Big Ray was telling you earlier, we just don't talk the talk like the other guys. We walk the walk. We're Richmond investigators of the paranormal. And like I said, Big Ray and I would love to have you guys on our show with us. And we appreciate it. Like I said, you guys are dear to us. And we appreciate you guys having Big Ray and myself on the show.
It's been a blast, and that's why we're just going to keep it going. So
okay.
I don't, you know, and Dennis and I are working this out, so what I'm going to do is we got to find out who we got with us. I know we got two of the members. I just don't know which two because I don't have their names attached to their area code. So, hey, guys,
it's
how you doing?
Man, it's entertainment.
Okay.
Hey,
wait.
Hey.
Hello?
You guys with us?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. This is Jake from PM Investigations, and we should have Amy on the line as well right now. Amy, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
All right. So Jake and Amy, okay. we're having kind of a group thing here. We got six people going right now. So how are you guys doing? How's everything in Houston, my hometown?
Kind of rainy and dreary tonight. We're all good.
But I bet it's warmer than Chicago.
Kiss my ass, Dennis. Yeah, today we're at we hit 42 today, and beautiful day. Spent out at Bachelor's Grove Cemetery with two of my great friends, Ursula Bielski and CPR Mark, who's Mark Betts, that I started CPR with. So. We had fun, even though it was a little chilly. Had to wear the coats, unlike you people.
Let me say hello to Ray and KB. They're joining us with, they're from RIP, Richmond Investigators of the Paranormal. They're still online with us.
Good afternoon, guys. Good afternoon, this is KB.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Big Ray. Hey.
Yeah, they're right. Dear friends of Dennis and mine, they do Ghost Raps Radio on Friday nights, so I had to have them on, and it was some stabs, some endearment, some love.
I had fun.
But the one thing about it, Matt knows for sure that JB tells you something, he will cut you with a butter knife. And Matt said, take the word for it. It's got to be rusted. Matt knows the love you,
and in the Achilles tendon, as we've established.
Oh, yeah, there we go again. JB, short jokes.
Yeah, Jake and Amy, he's only about Achilles tendon tall. So
I carry a step stool wherever I go for him.
Hey, Big Ray. Anyway, we can give him a remote. I'll get you tomorrow night on the radio.
Okay.
Right.
Hey,
so,
thanks
guys,
for joining
Amy.
Us, KB.
What do you say, Dennis?
I said I appreciate you for joining us.
I appreciate it. We appreciate you having us on the show with you guys tonight.
Yeah.
And it's definitely been a blast. But, so, now... let's see, Jake, Amy, you're amongst an entire group of, all of us have done paranormal investigations. We've all done the ghost haunts. What would be the most phenomenal location that you've been to and the most outstanding thing that you've ever seen? I'm going to ask one of the most basic questions just to kick this conversation off.
All right, Amy, you want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. To date, one of the best, most phenomenal locations we've been to in our limited range would, I'd have to say, would be the Ott Hotel out in Liberty, Texas. We've never really seen anything, but we've had some strange occurrences and, you know, caught a few little basic things here and there, some great EVPs from some people that have gone with us. Amy, how about you?
I would 100% agree with you, Jake. That has been the best one so far. You basically took the words right out of my mouth.
So how many people do you how many people do you actually operate with on investigation?
Well, it depends on where we're going. If we're doing local little investigations, personal home investigations, or going to cemeteries and whatnot, it's usually just the three core members: Ashley, myself, and Amy. And Ashley should be joining us before too long. She's driving from downtown right now, so she can't be on the phone.
Oh, very wise.
Yeah, but sometimes we do certain investigations, like we're returning to the Yorktown Memorial Hospital in Yorktown, Texas, here on May 4th. And to raise the funds to get that together, we got a whole bunch of people together, mostly people that have never been out there before, so we can raise the funds and get in and share our access with other people.
Yeah, see, now you're getting me homesick, because I was born in Memorial City Hospital, and I lived like basically off of Highway like 6 and 10 and Bear Creek, and used to go to Galveston. And man, come on, I got to come down for a visit.
We'd love to have you.
Yeah, come on.
All right, well, I hate to keep interrupting, but you know, these are questions that we pretty much everybody gets asked. Can you give us a little bit of background on the location that your most prolific evidence came out of?
Let's see here.
When was it built? What was it utilized for the majority of its life?
Let's see here. Our most prolific evidence, I guess what we've gotten from the Ott. Let me see if I can pull up the information on it here real quick. I know it was built.
Well,
sir?
Go ahead. I'll let you go, Jay.
Yeah, I got to pull up the information here real quick on it.
Okay. Well, while you do that, let me roll over real quick, and I'm going to hit Ken and Ray, and I'll ask them the same exact question. What was the most prolific piece of evidence that you got, and what location actually impacted you the most in your investigation experience? Let's start with Ray.
Well, I've been lucky enough to catch a lot. I guess it would be the St. Albans. We went up there with Roy and ESP, Eastern States Paranormal, and it was just a whole night of different events, and it was personal events, and we had a police officer. We had some kids try to sneak on the property. They had to call the cops in, and the police officer saw a lady in the window. We thought he was pulling her leg, and he thought we were doing the same. And I actually had a recorder over the window as he was talking, calling it in. So we took him through the building to prove to him we had no one in that area. And in that same area, I think I got the picture of a man's face apparition outside of building where that window's at, and we were doing an EVP session downstairs. I asked, KB's across from me, we're like at a doorway with a light, motion-activated light about 15 feet to the other room, so I'm standing on one side of the door, he's facing me from the other, I'm going through the alphabet, trying to get a name, and I ask a question letter, my dowsing rods cross, his K2 meter goes off, the motion light goes off, and part of the wall's ripped down behind me, and we got that on video. So we had all that going on that night. But what is wild about the police officer's description of that woman that he saw at the window, one of the Roy's wife's mother worked at that asylum when it was in operation. And by his description, she knew who that woman was. And she was no longer alive, of course. So I think that one kind of brought a whole different kind of different layers paranormal activity, from poltergeist to auditory to visual to, you know, even a, well, KB's a retired police officer, doing investigations and all that stuff. And so that investigation for me really brought it all together.
Okay. Well, that would definitely, you know, anything that can be validated in this field, I mean, that definitely takes a precedence. So, Jake, did you find us any information on Hart?
All right, the information on here, let's see here. I'm sorry, Ashley just got here and we're colluding and whatnot. The Odd Hotel itself, I believe, was built in 1928 by Eliza Birch. And she died about 30 years after that. See here, the Odd Hotel itself has seen a very, very long history. It's about 14 feet from the train track, so it has seen many, many travelers come through and all sorts of happenings. Some of the darker things that have been reported there is supposedly there's a portal in the hallway. They train their cameras on it, and apparently they seem to catch all these crazy pictures. We've never gotten anything there. However, they also claim to have a room with a succubus in it.
There's a lot of things going on here.
But the room itself with the succubus, we've stayed in there before. The first time we didn't make it very long. It wasn't several minutes before my partner Ashley started seeing something in there. We were laying on the bed and there was a depression in between us that she saw. As she started to say that, I heard a audible sigh that I actually caught on audio. And right as she got up, it felt as if someone had stroked me from my ankle all the way up to my side. And after that, we got out of there, and we got a few interesting pictures, nothing great, but that audible sigh was one of the best things we've captured so far.
So that would be a DS this location immediately moment.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I have to vote on your side. I'm not a big fan of being touched by a thing that I can't see.
I'm not a big fan of it either.
I don't blame you. Neither
is KB.
All right. So if you keep hearing popping in and echoing and stuff, Ashley is with us. Her computer was on kind of loud, so that was the reverb that you were hearing was coming through the speakers because of the delay. But I don't seem to be hearing it now, and Ashley is with us. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, Ashley. Thanks
doing
for all right.
Thank
us.
You for joining us. You you have Jake, Amy, Dennis, KB, Big Ray, myself. So it's a party line tonight.
I was going to say, welcome to the party, but yeah. So we're doing a roundtable on, at this point, what is the most prolific location, the most prolific evidence, and, well, what was your oh shit moment? So, Ashley, your turn, since you've just joined us, let's throw you right into the oil.
Well, my biggest moment would have to be before we actually became a team. We had gone out to the 1960 overpass area, like me and a couple of my old friends, and we actually walked on the railroad tracks. And we didn't see anything because it was at night, so we couldn't find the cemetery and the old church and everything. But later on that night, I had just gotten a new stereo for Christmas, and I actually called whatever it was out, saying, if there was anything at that cemetery, can you give me a sign? And as soon as I said that, my stereo started going on and off. And there is this weird shadow above my bed that the only way I can describe it is like the skeletal-looking arm, which is supposed to be the way that the ghosts are supposed to look out in that cemetery. And I just know I was sitting there crying and saying, I swear, I won't go back. I won't go back. I'm sorry. Only to find out later that anybody who walks on the railroad tracks to get to that cemetery always has really bad things happen to them. So that would have to be my scariest moment.
Yeah,
that would definitely
pique my interest. See, I'm twisted though. That would pique my interest. Where I'm like, no, who are you? I'm coming back.
Yeah, but whenever you're sitting or trying to study for a final and you're not expecting that, it's bone chilling.
Right, so you were no longer at the train tracks when the stereo was going on and off?
No, we had already left and everything, but I wasn't feeling that well. And it was after I got back home, but I actually called it out, and apparently it answered.
Yeah, well, call out a bully and see what happens. it's a strange damn field. All right, so let's roll back on the other side real quick, and let's see what, we got Ray's idea so far. Let's find out from Ken what his most prolific moment is, and what was your oh shit moment?
Well, I'll tell you what, Ray will probably tell you, KB's had a lot of OSs. But I'll tell you what, one that sticks in my mind is a place that we did out in the far west end of Richmond, Virginia. The house was built back in 1911. The other house on the side was built back in the late 1800s, and the new house was an old farmhouse back then up in the Monument Avenue and Patterson Avenue area. And a lot of land back then was open farms, which now is the heart of the city of Richmond. But I think Ray and I did an investigation. This guy called us one night about 2:30 in the morning, a grown man in his 40s. He was crying on the phone. He said he's called all the paranormal groups. They made fun of him. They told him to go take his medication. He's crazy. He's crazy as heck. Well, you know, I listened to the guy, and he talked to me a little bit, and I asked what the problem was, and he said something's going on in his house strange. He said the other night he was grabbed by the ankles, and he was pulled out the bed and slapped in the face. Well, you know, I talked to the guy and calmed him down a little bit, and he said that I asked myself, I had to ask some personal questions, and, you know, you can answer if you like. It'd be helpful for you and for me. I asked the guy, will you take any type of drugs, any type of psychiatric pills, medication? He stated no. We come to find out, Ray and I went out and investigated this guy. We did a background check, come to find out that this guy was the same, had more smarts than probably myself, you know. And he was known around town to play in the local bands, and he had his head together. But he alleged over a period of time, he lived in this old house. It was a three-story house, and they had a set of steps that went to the back. They went straight up in the air and went to his apartment. And this whole house, there should have been four apartment buildings in this house. And every time somebody would move into this building, within days, they'd be moving out. He had this girl that lived next door, right next door to his door. He would come home in the afternoon, and she'd be sitting in his couch. And he would ask her, why are you sitting on my couch? She said, I'm not going back in this house. I'm leaving. Matter of fact, this girl, when she did leave, she left all the furniture and everything in the house. It's a bad she wanted to get out of this house. Even to this day, nobody will rent a house. They've had people come in and rent for 2 to 3 weeks and leave. Well, this guy was the only guy who could afford to live there. It was cheap. Everything was included, so they couldn't afford to move anywhere else. But this guy's been smacked. He's been thrown down the steps. Ray can verify this to a preacher. This guy went through misery of some type of an entity or poltergeist in this property. We did an investigation there. I was in the room when the girl used to live at, just right across the hall. I sat on the couch. She left there, and I asked, is anything in this place, make yourself known to us? Well, we had the video cameras going and the K2 meters and infrared and all that. As I was sitting on the couch, my left side of my lap, like somebody had actually sat down on part of my leg and part of the cushion of the couch went down. I'm not going to lie to you. I jumped up because it startled me. And I said, what? Because you know what? Well, that was one of the things. But I think one of the most couple of major things that happened in this house, the boy died in this house at 47 years old. He ended up with an illness. His health went downhill day by day as he was living there. But the boy did pass away in the bedroom. And I think one of the strangest things to me that happened was a week prior to him passing away, Big Ray and the team members went out there, took him for food, and we stopped at the store and talked to him, and he kept telling us that it's banging on his wall behind his headboard. And he kept hearing this banging on his headboard. And all of a sudden, one day, the headboard collapsed by the wall behind him. Some old pictures fell out dated back in the late 1800s or early 1900s from New York to Philadelphia. That had these pictures getting in this wall. Why was it banging always on that back wall or in the other room? And when he passed away, prior to that, he was an honorary member of Richmond Investigators of the Paranormal. He gave us these pictures. And the preacher, like I said, he developed a colon cancer at a young age. He was standing at the top of the steps. And as he was standing at the steps, the preacher was at the bottom looking up towards him. The preacher will tell you that he saw a black mass walk behind him, push him straight, like he didn't push him straight down the stairs. Actually, something pushed this man so hard, his arms flew out to his, to like he's flying, and he went down the steps, landed at the bottom of the steps. When he hit the ground, his intestines, where he had staples in his stomach, ripped open. His intestines fell out. They thought he was dead. They cut him over the blanket. The ambulance gets there to find out if he still had life in it. They sent him back to the hospital. He lived a few weeks, went back home because he said he wanted to die in that house, and he wanted to fight the evil that was in that house. And to this day, like I said, nobody has lived there, and the tenant of this property won't let anybody go back in there for one reason or another. But like I said, some strange things have happened in this place, and it left a feeling about me about the strange thing that happened. They got pictures of a guy who was... standing in the windows, looking at the windows. Nobody's in the house. Two construction workers were working outside, put new siding on the house. My buddy came down the steps, and the two guys were asking him, who are those old man and old ladies looking at the windows, shaking their fist at me? And he said, look, guys, he said, I'll tell you straight up, nobody lives in this house but me. He said he went up back to his room to make him something to eat, and as he was leaving, he'd come back down the steps and bring him some of the drink. He said they were gone. They left the property. That place kind of left an impression on me as anything that I've investigated as far as St. Albans. That's another great place, but this place had a lot of evil in it. You could walk into this house and feel the evil presence in it. So that left an impression on me. And if people say, does evil exist? It does on this house that we investigated. And like I said, that house is still standing.
So, all right. Here's one thing that we talk about all the time, and this is what I literally hate about all you people from the South, is paranormal in Chicago is so hush-hush. It's so just swept under the rug. Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to let you in to investigate the amazing history that's here, but it doesn't have the complete amazing history of the South. And I know that, you know, Dennis, you go to some great places. KB Ray, I know you guys go to some great places. I'm sure Ashley, Jake, Amy, I'm sure you've been to some great places. For you guys specifically, is there anything that's local on your bucket list that you guys want to do?
On our list?
For the Houston. The Houston folk. My hometown folk, not my second family folk.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, before they answer that, I'm going to go ahead. Big Ray, KB, thank you both so much for joining us. And I want to take the last about 30 minutes or so, and we're going to focus with PM Investigations with Ashley, Jake, and Amy. Find them on Facebook, Houston Ghost. They're a blast to talk to. So I'm going to cut you two loose. I thank you immensely for joining us, man. Y'all are a blast to talk to. It has been so damn much fun. And, you know, KB, just because you can play handball on a curb line doesn't mean you're short, brother. It just means the curb is tall as hell.
I hear that.
Ray, yeah. Thanks for being laid back. Thanks for sharing a couple of pokes of fun at everybody with me. Makes me not feel so alone that I'm the bully in the group.
Okay, I appreciate you having us on. I'm going to get KB to help me to get the gloves and real important and put me to bed.
Am I getting arrested?
Run, Ray! Run, Ray! Run!
Wait a minute. I have my hands up on the wall. Can I take them down?
Lord, man. Yeah, I don't know what the hell you did now, Ray, but they already found you because the sirens went silent. So we know you did it. They're there. Man, we'll let you go.
Maybe you can
talk to KV there and maybe he can talk you out of some whatever you did.
Well, KV's past his bedtime. I'm going to get his helper to give him some milk and put him to bed here.
Man, I appreciate that, too. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Dennis. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you later. Love you guys.
And y'all be careful. Have a great evening.
Good night.
It's been great having you guys.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Good night. Bye-bye.
All right. Now, we were back to the discussion point, and I threw it up to where'd it go? I think it was headed at Amy, but I'm not real sure. Kind of got lost there with the sirens. I got all excited. That's my law enforcement side. So, Matt. It's all my bad.
Yeah, Dennis, shut up. Bad. Okay. Dennis, just shut up. Okay. my question was to you guys, like, if there's anything that you have locally, like bucket lists that, you know, you just really want to get into, maybe a pain in the ass to get into, or just anything that you do want to check out, because I know I have mine, but I can't get into mine because they're just asses about it.
Is it okay if all three of us do a different one?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Amy, why don't you kick it off real quick?
Wait, one second. Somebody got their computer speakers up?
Let's see here. I think I might be a little too close to Ashley. Let me see. There we go.
Yeah, the phones will pick it up too, so. All right. Whoever wants to kick it off, feel free.
Y'all go ahead.
And they all three go at once. I didn't even hear the starter pistol. I'll tell you what, let's work this thing by alphabet. Amy.
You had to think about that?
I'm not real sure. You know, locally there's it feels like a lot of what we already know about his, it's either really hard to get into, or they, you know, they already have their own groups that investigate. I don't know. You know, at this point, I'm down for whatever. You know, everything just excites me. Everywhere is, I just want to do it all, basically.
Well, if you had an open door, just every location that you wanted to go, all of them said, hell yes, the place is yours for the night. What is the one place that you would love to go?
And it has to be locally?
No. Let's expand it. Just bucket list. Of your number one place on the bucket list. Like, I will do this before I die and join it.
It has to be Waverly Hills.
No. Waverly Hills. Yeah. See. Yeah. I'm right with her. I'm there. If you manage to get open door on Waverly Hills, by all means, I will buy the snacks, because I think that's about all we will eat before, during, and after, and probably not much after, because, you know, we'll be too busy, like, you know, running like hell. So I got to take Ashley's answer so far. I'm right with her. All right. Next on the list, alphabetically, because we all, we threw it out, just you three answer, and, well, Amy, what's yours?
Well, I'm Amy. Ashley.
Yeah, Amy just answered you. Ashley is
next. Yeah, I know.
Okay, first grade starts at 8:30 tomorrow.
I'll be their teacher.
No, you'll be the student.
No,
it's alphabet class. It's alphabet class tomorrow. I'll bring you the peanut butter Ritz Bits you like. All right, Ashley. Ashley, what? This will be easier for you. The next one after Ashley is Jake. That's a totally different letter.
Okay. Hell up, man. And people ask me, why do I keep doing the show? I don't know.
I don't either.
Oh, by the way.
Hey, let Ashley talk.
Okay.
I would have to say, if I could get a free card into any place locally at night, it would be the old Dollar Theater next to the 1960 overpass. We've tried for years to get in there. We know other teams that have tried to get in there, and all they do is keep giving us the runaround or ignoring us. And it's supposed to be extremely haunted with demonic activity. But it hasn't been a functioning movie theater in probably at least 10 to 12 years. And part of the reason of why they shut it down was because of the employees were getting attacked by unseen beings.
So you want to play with demonic forces or potential demonic forces?
Well, I just want to get in. It's like to see if it actually is as haunted as the legends say it is.
And have you looked up any sort of history as far as people dying there, if it's violent, like, is there anything that's released on it, or is it just kind of like hush-hush, nobody wants to say anything about it?
I've looked up as much history as I possibly can online, and even going to the little Humble Museum and everything, and it's pretty much, since the train tracks is right behind it, there was a horrific train accident that happened close to almost 100 years ago. Plus, there's tons of cult activity that used to be in that area that's right next to where they moved the cemetery, but they didn't move all the bodies. So if there's anything there, it kind of went into that theater because it's so dark and just a silent place that they wouldn't be disturbed. But you can't really find that much information on it aside from people saying it's haunted and just different things. And whenever you contact the owners of the building, they just blow you off.
Unless you have a buttload of money.
Well,
or a national,
I hate to say it, but...
or a national TV show.
True.
Yeah, and that's what bugs me so much. I mean, everybody that has a haunted location now or a supposed haunted location just wants money. I mean, they know that, you know, it will come their way. They just have to bide their time.
Well,
but
the thing is, they know that nobody...
Go ahead, Ashley.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, they know that nobody can rent out the location because it's $12,000 a month to lease. So there's nobody that has that kind of money that really wants that as a movie theater again.
Ooh.
I think we do a Kickstarter page for it. We need 12 G's on Kickstarter. Why? So we can walk around in the dark.
And talk to people that we can't see.
Yeah. No electric bill? No.
Exactly. But keep their EMFs down. We know there's no EMF field here because, well, we ain't paid the power bill.
You know, I do, I will come back to that because I do have an idea for you that actually does work extremely well here and maybe something to present to them to get you guys in there. But let's flip on to Jake real quick. What's your number one bucket list?
Number one bucket list, well, it used to be Pavelia Island in Italy, but since then I've caught a radio show on another radio program, and they were saying that they had gone out to what we would call Transylvania and some of Vlad Tepes' old properties and castles, especially the areas where he would punish his foes. And supposedly got some really, really good stuff out there. They even got really interesting results on the, ovilus. Apparently their ovilus was creating compound words, and they had the creator of the ovilus on at the same time. He said that, yeah, those things aren't designed to do that. And they've just had all sorts of creepy things happen in there. You know, thousands of people have died on the properties because of Vlad Tepes's sick fantasies and whatnot. But, yeah, I'd have to say that would be the number one place for me.
Yeah, he was definitely a peach. Someone you just want to be around that just exudes happiness. but, yeah, there's a couple other places that are in the Romania, Czechoslovakia, like in that area where he had places that, yeah, I definitely want to get there. It'll probably never happen in lifetime. I did change, Dennis, you know what mine was, but I did definitely have it changed today. When we were leaving Bachelor's Grove, and we went and had to get to I-80 to get back because it's pretty far south. Well, we passed by, and Mark looks over at me. He goes, there's a place that's coming up here that I've wanted to get in and investigate forever. And I'm like, oh, cool. And I was like, is it what is it? He's like, you'll see. We come up, he goes, look over to your right. I look over, and it's this gigantic compound. I mean, huge, huge compound that closed a year and a half ago that was one of the state's number one mental institutions for the most extreme cases. So it's fresh. I want that.
Okay. Now, I've got to give Jake kudos on Pavelia. I mean, most definitely, if I were granted a free card to any location, I think Pavelia would definitely be it. It just the history that place has, the energy that's got to be there. I mean, half the island is built from human ash. I'm definitely down with that one. Now, let's move to something a little more, well, something that we've already done. We've already discussed what your most prolifics are. Let's start. I'm going to do something to screw you up here, Matt. Let's go in reverse alphabetical order and see if I can screw this one up myself.
That's just easy for you.
Well, it's back ass-words, so yeah, it's me. It's bass ackwards.
You're screwing that up.
No, it's bass ackwards.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
So, Jake, tell me what got you interested into the paranormal and why did you decide that you want to go chase things that you really can't see and don't know what the outcome might be?
Well, when I was young, like a lot of people who were in the field, I had a lot of paranormal experiences, some more explainable than others. When I was about 8 years old or so, it was storming one night, and I'm laying in my bedroom. I shared a bedroom with my older brother, and we had one of those wood-trim tube TVs from the late 80s in our bedroom. And it could have been the power storm. It could have been something else. For some reason, it turned itself on in the middle of the night. A very, very dull picture on the screen. Nothing really in general, not even snow. And then it kind of powered down just a little bit, and then it sounded as if something was scratching from underneath it. And I figured, hey, maybe one of my cats was underneath it. Maybe we had somehow left it on or something like that. Well, come morning time, I wake up, and I'm getting yelled at for a good 10-inch crack that's on the screen of the TV. And like I said, that could be explainable, but something else that had happened years later, I think I was about 19 or so, and my cousin was over, and he thought he was following me into my room. He said he had seen my shadow being cast from the light in my room in the hall. So, and of course, I'm right behind him following him into my room. So he turns around immediately as he sees me, and he says, "Dude, how did you do that?" I said, "Well, what are you talking about? I was right behind you." He said, "Well, I just followed you in here, and then whenever I got in here, your Furby toy called me a freak." And I said, "Well, you know, there's some words that it has in its database that sound like that, but it doesn't have any batteries in it." And, those are two of the more landmark ones for me that really got me into the field.
Yeah, Furby itself is freaky enough. Let alone having the damn thing talk to me when it doesn't have batteries. Yeah, that would definitely make me want to go investigate. So now that we're in fast-backwards rotation here, that puts it to Ashley, and what made you choose to get into this field?
Yay, you got it right.
I'm in the middle no matter what.
She's done. And just blew that whole train of thought right out the window. Nobody warned you I was the asshole in the group, did they?
Um. to say right now, but I guess it would have to be, I remember being 3 years old and sitting in my room looking at a comic book, and I just saw a shadow run across the wall. And, of course, I screamed for my parents and everything, and they thought, you know, little kids, just their imagination, and enough to make me not even want to go in that room to this day. And aside from it just feeling right, it had enough of an impact on me to basically help push me to be a psychology major so I can sit there and use that in my career and in my other career.
Okay.
So I can sit there and... Because there are too many people that sit there and think that they're crazy when they're really not. And they actually did see something.
All right. I do have to give the warning. We have 9 minutes left. However, we do roll over, and every time. We only have a two-hour program, but we have never closed out a program within 2 hours. Now, actually, with that answer, I have to tell you, do you know anything at all about CPR, Matt?
Do I what?
Do you know anything at all about CPR, Matt?
Me?
No.
Okay. Matt, what is your, and just strictly answer the question, don't go into details. Matt, what is your degree?
Abnormal psychology.
Thank you. So, yes, we definitely need to keep you all on the phone, even though we're going to give a close down time, and then we'll roll off to archive. But we'll still be live with each other, and all of our listeners will lose the feed. But they can go back and pull it from archive.
Yeah, the live ones will lose, or you'll lose the live feed, but when you go back and you replay it, it'll go to 3 hours and 1 minute. So, and most of the time, we have a ton of archive listens, and they listen throughout the whole thing. So anything that we talk about will be heard, maybe just not instantaneously. So just to let you know. But real quick, we're at 7.5 minutes. I want to make sure that you guys get your plugs out, and then we'll get back to what we were talking about. So anything that you want to plug, and then – or actually, Amy, really quick, your what got you into it?
Well, after my parents divorced back in 99, my dad bought a house that was built in 1957, and he purchased it from the original owner. And she was in her 80s. Her husband had passed, and she was going into some kind of assisted living. And shortly after we started moving things in, my dad left to go get another carload of stuff, and I stayed in his new house waiting for him to come back. It wasn't very far from where he was going, and I was just sitting on a couch by myself, completely quiet, because all there was a couch at the time, and I heard what sounded like just a ton of metal being dropped on the floor from the farthest bedroom away from me, and it freaked me out. And I didn't say anything. I didn't think anybody, you know, I just turned 10 or 11. And I didn't say anything to anybody. And as time went on, I didn't find out until later on, you know, not too long ago, after I had turned 18, that he had crazy things happening regularly. And I knew that there was something going on there, but, you know, to comfort a child that's scared, no, it's just your imagination. He had beds that he would make up, and they would be turned back when he would come back. we saw a iron tissue box holder fly off of the back of a toilet about 3 times. Me and my brother and my dad all saw it happen. Just various things that after that, after going through that and experiencing those things, I was hooked. I wanted to know why and how and anything else that I could know about it, because it's, you know, that's just crazy if you think about it. It's crazy that it could happen. And I wanted to know why. And I want to know who was doing it, how those people that are ghosts came to be. I wanted to know everything. That was like a little sponge.
And that was when you were like 10 or 11?
Yeah.
So cool. So I'm glad that now hopefully things have, you know, at this point pushed forward to the point that you've started to get answers to it, or
I mean,
that's all any of us are after. I mean, why the hell would we traipse around in the dark, talk to people we can't see, hope that they, you know, move to the little red light if we're not after answers?
Right.
So
I figured
that on my own.
So,
Amy, real quick, we do have just a couple minutes left. I want you guys to throw out your plugs, and then we'll continue talking. So, any websites, any contact info, any events you're going to, just feel free, throw them out. Whoever wants to do it.
All right. Let's see here. Well, you can find us online at Houston Ghosts on Facebook. We do have a website that we're developing. Right now it just redirects to our YouTube page, Facebook, and Twitter, but that's at pminvestigations.org. And we have a YouTube channel. If you just go to YouTube and type in PM Investigations, we've got about a dozen or so films on there that we've put together from the audio and video that we've gotten. And what's our Twitter feed?
PMI Ghost.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, and that's about it. If anybody needs to contact us in the area, they can definitely reach us through the Facebook page. We also have an email address at pminvestigations@gmail.com. Or, I'm sorry, at ymail.com.
Yeah. And make sure that you all send us links for everything, and we'll get them out there on our pages. We'll also push them on the radio program. And if I'm not mistaken, we have about 1 minute, 30 seconds. So I want to say thank you to everybody. And again, Dane Ladwig, our deepest apologies and sympathies to your dad. For your dad, to you and your whole family. Matt, anything you want to throw out there live?
I just want to say thank you to KB, thank you to Big Ray, Amy, Ashley, Jake, you know, Houston Ghosts. I definitely appreciate it. This is a blast doing the radio show. One thing I am going to do for you guys is I'm going to start looking into and putting it out there about, especially about the dollar, because that one's got me really, really intrigued. And what I'll see if, sorry, the British woman yelling in my ear. I'll see what I can find out as far as getting in there. I'll see if it's even possible or if any of the other contacts that I have can get you guys in there. It's going to, I'm going to help out in any way I can, but thank you, guys. Dennis, thank you, man. It's, you know, it's always a pleasure. We love doing this crap, man. I mean, it's so fun, the people we meet, the people we get to talk to. And for you guys, I definitely, once I look into information, I want to have you guys back on for the full 2 hours. So if that's cool with you guys.
Awesome.
Yeah. Absolutely fine.
All right. Now, we're narrowing down. It's going to actually kill the live, but like we said, we still roll over into the archive. Our conversation, I do want to continue because some of the places that you guys have investigated, I definitely want some information about. So those that are listening live, they'll get the hell over it. Now,
you won't get to hear it. And thank you. All right, now we're in archive.
There we go. Now, I got to ask, what is the most scared that you have been? And I don't care who answers it. What created that most scared moment?
I can give you mine.
Okay. I mean, we've already had the most prolific moment. But what really scared the shit out of you? Now that we're in the archive, I don't have to be polite anymore.
Right at the beginning of the show, you were dropping S-bombs left and right.
S-bombs, not F.
I said S.
Oh, okay.
Damn, man, you and your M and... Oh, Barbara is saying that she can still hear us, so apparently the show is still going on.
Oh, well,
good job, Dennis. Good job, Dennis.
Oh, yay me. Yay me. I don't care. I don't care.
I wonder if Kevin extended us an extra hour.
Kevin will probably drop us. So, who was saying that I'll answer that?
Amy. That's me.
Okay. So what was your biggest oh shit moment?
My biggest oh shit moment was when I felt two icy hands pushing me down into my bed and I couldn't breathe and I realized that I was the only one in the house.
Yeah, that would be an oh shit.
Yeah. That was definitely
it. Yeah, that would definitely do it. So, I mean, do you guys have any, investigations coming up that you can't really tell about or, you know, something that's coming up that really intrigues you and you just kind of shake your head and go, what the hell are they really talking about and what's happening?
Gosh.
So wait, cops to motorcycles and...
Oh, no, just one jerk on a motorcycle. Oh, my Lord.
Is that you? Jake, are you riding right now?
A little bit. Not too well, though. It's raining.
I missed something.
All right.
You must be close to Ashley again.
Is it here? May 4th. As I said earlier, we're going back to Yorktown Memorial Hospital. And
step away from Ashley.
There we go.
There
we go. We're going back to Yorktown Memorial Hospital and. When we were there last year around, I think it was June 4th, we were managing a whole bunch of different people. It was our first big thing like that, getting a whole bunch of people together. And we split up into smaller groups, and I took it upon myself to make sure to round up the groups and everything. We didn't have enough walkie-talkies to go around. And while I was heading from one group to another, I'm walking through the hallway, and it sounds like it drops right next to me. And I looked around, and nothing could have fallen. We were on the ground level, and the whole place is pretty much made out of concrete. So, I mean, there's nothing that could have fallen between the floorboards or anything like that. And I hightailed it to the nearest people real quick.
That's...
Yeah, that would... No. Oh, that reminds me. The big crashing metal sound. Who related that story? I get confused. I'm old. Forgive me.
Passes by time. He's on the East Coast.
Yeah, I mean... So, did we ever discover what the big crashing metal sound was? Or was that, you know, an unknown?
Are you
putting the motorcycle away? Yeah, I think, Ashley, it was you saying that it was the crashing metal sound, right?
Yeah,
Wait, what?
That was Amy.
Oh, okay, Amy, yes. Crashing metal sound.
No idea.
Sorry. You couldn't pinpoint anything at all?
I mean, there was literally nothing in the house.
And
so
you're certain it was inside the house?
Positive. Because
wow.
Because of the way that everything, because it was a long hallway, and this bedroom was at the very end of the hallway, and the way that it sounded then versus when things were being moved in there, it was similar. You know, just like the acoustics of, you know, the sound of things being put down and. Because obviously, at first I wanted to explain it away as, you know, oh, that was outside or, you know, something else. But I don't think it was anything else. I'm fairly certain that it was in that house. Plus, everything else over the years that had happened in the house, it all just makes sense.
All right. Okay, real quick, I want to get back to the dollar, and I mean, if it is what it, like I keep coming back, it is intriguing the hell out of me. Okay, so you try and contact the owners, and there's no contact back, or they give the runaround. Yes, I am extremely extremely familiar with that. Does anybody know if it's functioning at all?
It is not.
How long has it been vacant?
About 10 to 12 years, at least.
Oh, this won't work then. Because it's going to need like a restoration project, like, you know, that kind of thing. Well, there's a theater in downtown Chicago called the Portage Theater. And the group of friends and people that I have here were solely actually bringing that theater back to life. And what we've been doing is it wasn't run down or decrepit. It was still a functioning theater, just not often. And it is haunted. Well, all of our paranormal group got together, and we do film festivals there. We do overnight investigations that people pay basically just an entry. It's not like, you know, $200-$400, like any of that crap that you experience other places. What it is it's like 10, 15, 20 bucks donation. Then all the proceeds go to the theater to keep it up and running. And, I mean, we've had – it's a 1,400-seat theater, and we've filled that place tenfold numerous times. So that's where when the owners were approached about it, that's what it was a restoration project thing, which you guys might be able to work that out. Look at local filmmakers and stuff that, you know, never had their films on screen. They want to get on the big screen, you know, see it in full color. They bring people, and it actually turns out to be some pretty damn amazing events. So if it was something to where it was at least habitable and you're not starting from ground zero, that's a lot easier. But if it's something you can start something locally with your group, like Revive the Dollar, you know, something like, and see what kind of support you get to try and do that.
That's a good idea. Very good idea. Well, the Dollar Theater is one of the more haunted places that we've heard about in that little strip center complex. But we've heard stories from other people that have worked in different stores there, and they've reported similar activity, being cornered by dark spirits or shadows. And we heard one report of the lady. She was stocking the shelves at the end of the day, and she had gone in the back to retrieve more stuff to put on the shelves, and she came back out, and just about everything that she had just restocked the shelf with was all on the floor, and there was no earth. Somebody didn't come in and throw it on the floor or anything like that. She was the only person that was working at that time, and I don't believe she worked there for very long afterwards. And the whole complex just, things can't stay in business there for some reason. Anything that's along the woods, except for the Poncho's Mexican restaurant, that seems to be thriving.
Mexican spirits. That's actually not uncommon, and I've heard that with a decent amount of strip malls. And that's where it comes into looking at the original deeds, because that's what part of Texas is that in?
It is in. It's about, I think, 30 miles or so north of downtown Houston in a little town called Humble.
Okay. Because the whole Houston area back in the day, that was all owned by Mexico, and as the line recessed. I'm not tying in that it's Mexican spirit. That was just a stupid, worthless joke. But for that whole area, it could actually be, if you look through historical records, were there any battlefields in the area? Was there, but between the Spanish-American War, was there anything that happened around that area that you know of?
Nothing really noteworthy like that we've run across yet. Of course, we still do research on it every now and then if we find anything else out. But I think the biggest thing, as Ashley said before, was the graveyard that used to exist underneath the 1960 overpass is built now. We're taking up the markers and not removed all the bodies, and some of the bodies just weren't properly laid to rest. And she mentioned that train accident that killed 22 or 23 people, I believe. And they were somehow or another, they ended up getting steamed alive in the passenger cabin. But we really haven't run across much of anything else other than that. Of course, there's always Indian activity, and we're not sure which tribes were in this area. We know that over in Liberty they had the Kewankowin Indians, and they also had those down in Galveston, and I do believe that was a cannibalistic tribe, slightly cannibalistic tribe for ritual purposes.
Yeah, see, when I lived down there, I was, I think I was 10 when we moved here. So I never really looked into any history or research. There have been a couple of groups out of like Dallas and San Antonio and stuff that I've done background research and found a lot of stuff for them, but nothing in the Houston area. But yeah, I'm definitely gonna look into this too, and I'll shoot you whatever I come across. Another interesting sound coming through the phone.
Yeah, but we would greatly love anything that you could dig up on it.
Yeah. Hey, Dennis, you should do one of your things on it and see what you come up with.
That wouldn't be a bad idea. I try not to look at places that nobody really looks at. You three have no idea. I do remote views, And so far on 5 out of 6, I think I'm pushing about 97% or something like that. It's pretty damn interesting. But here's a thought for you. Check with the local historical society and see what they have. What the hell was that?
Is there a demon that just came through the phone?
Oh, well,
did you
outside
hear it too?
Because I think we're going to have to move into a car here in a second.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll go ahead and cut y'all loose. Because the background noise and the back feed that is actually happening is definitely not a positive. It sounds like demons and growling and all kinds of other noise. So we'll cut you all loose. But, man, I definitely want to thank you all for joining us. Those that are still hanging out with us, that was Ashley, Jake, and Amy. They're with PM Investigations. Find them on Facebook under Houston Ghosts. If you're in that area and you have issues, by all means, give them a buzz. See what they can do for you. See if they can help you out. And never know. Just might be something in your basement that you weren't aware of.
Yeah. So, and I definitely want to thank you guys, too. And yeah, give me a couple of days to see what I can dig up or figure out about it. Then I'll shoot you guys some info. I'm, for some stupid reason, and I don't even know why, I'm in Facebook jail right now. So if you want to shoot me a message, just CPR Matt, just, you know, send me a friend request, shoot me a message. I'll start digging into this and see what I can come up with as far as info and possibilities of, you know, kind of put together something to see what I can figure out about getting the thing back up and running if the current owners want that done. If you have any contact info on the current owners, let me know, and I'll get in touch with them myself and see what I can come up with. And basically go from there. And you guys need anything, I mean, you know, just shoot a message. And yeah, I mean, you know, within the next couple of weeks, love to have you guys back on for the full 2 hours and get kind of an update of what's been going on and when what you guys got going on, you know, coming up, because everything in our field develops pretty much daily. So if you guys are down for it, more than welcome.
Oh, we're definitely down for it.
Absolutely.
That's what I like to hear.
I definitely appreciate you guys joining us. It's been a great night. We're getting ready to cut out. Thanks for joining us again. Number one rule, when you go into an investigation, Ashley, what is your number one rule going in?
Number one rule going into an investigation? Always make sure you have permission.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Right. Amy, what's your number one rule going in? Amy?
I always like to kind of pray to myself. Just, you know, it makes me feel better.
Okay. A little protection prayer?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm good with that. Jake, what's your number one rule going in?
I think we lost Jake. Oh, there he is.
Yeah, we had to just get on one phone. No, my number one rule would have to be don't run. You're going to hurt yourself more running.
I like that.
Yep. I got to give you that one. But always remember, folks, listen to the professionals. Say a prayer going in. Say a prayer coming out. Protect yourself on the way in, on the way out. And as Jake said, don't run. You really don't want to have an ambulance on the outside. Because 9 out of 10, if you start running, you're going to plow into something that, toes are designed for one thing, and that's finding a solid object in the dark. Where do we hunt ghosts? In the dark. So it was great having you guys on. Really appreciate it. And at this point, I think we're very close to cutoff shot. So real quick, throw out your links again. Find them on Facebook.
Yeah, on Facebook under Houston Ghosts. And if you go to YouTube, just type in PM Space Investigations. You should see the same logo that we have on our profile picture on Facebook there. And we have about a dozen or so videos up right now. And as well as www.pminvestigations.org.
Yeah. Definitely going to check that out. I'll post the links on my page. I know Dennis will post them on his page too. And we'll get it out there and get you guys some more. And yeah, like I said, love to have you guys back on. And you know, we'll just do a full show dedicated to you guys. And definitely, probably, I'd say, you know, early May if you're free. So.
Sounds good.
So, all right, guys. Well, you have a good night. Thank you again, Dennis. Thank you for sure. As always, love you, brother. I mean, it's another great show, another great bunch of people, as we always get to meet, and that's why I love doing this. So, everybody, have a good night. Be safe.
You too.
You too.
All right, good night.
And my little last closing, thanks for joining us, everybody. Have a safe night. God love you. Always, always, always protect yourself no matter what. Have a safe night.
Bye now.
Yeah.